to point out to you something that I was looking at as I was preparing the message for this morning. I already had something else planned for this afternoon, but as I got to this point in Acts chapter 23 and verse 35, this is from this morning's message, you'll notice that the last words that are recorded in that chapter is about the Felix, the governor, commanding Paul to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. Now, typically, you wouldn't think that a study on the judgment hall would be of any interest. So this is more like a topical study or something that we need to just understand from the New Testament. The judgment hall is the word praetorium. You've probably heard the word praetorium before. It actually is in your Bibles. It was the headquarters of the Roman military governor wherever he happened to be. That would be his judgment hall. That would be his praetorium. It could be an existing building, one of the most of the best ones that they would use for this purpose. And so as I was studying this in Acts 23, 35 in preparation for this morning, I got to that last verse and it was too much to enter into the message this morning. It was something I wanted to just teach you this afternoon. The word judgment hall is the word, the one word, praetorium. There are three in the New Testament. You're acquainted with the one that is given in the Gospels because Jesus was in the praetorium. In Matthew 27, 27, it's called the common hall. In Mark 15, 16, it's simply called the hall, called praetorium. In John 18, 28, it's called the hall of judgment and the judgment hall. In 18:33 of John, the judgment hall. In 19:9, the judgment hall. What do you think took place in the praetorium? In the judgment hall. It was a hearing. It was a judging. And where it's used in the Gospels, it's used of Pilate standing in judgment of Jesus Christ. But before he made his judgment, he heard him. In fact, in John, he says, "What is truth?" And there's truth standing him, right? Staring him in the face, Jesus Christ himself. So that's the Jerusalem praetorium. That's where the Roman governor would be. That's where the judgment was made in the Gospels. Then, of course, we read about it one time in the book of Acts, and that's where we were reading this morning, where it was called Herod's judgment hall, Herod's praetorium. Again, this is where the governor, Felix in this instance, was about to hear and make his judgment on the Apostle Paul. There's a third one, the third and the last. It's the Roman Praetorium. And I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Philippians. And this is really where I want us to stay for the rest of the time. This is where Paul was being kept before he would be going before Caesar. Philippians chapter 1, and he says this in verse 12, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." Interesting, the word praetorium in Philippians 1:13 is translated palace. Paul is saying then, my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the judgment hall and in all other places. Then he goes on to say in verse 14, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." 2 points I want to make about Philippians 1:13. The gospel, Paul is saying, is being displayed to unbelievers through two things. Number one, his personal contacts. The construction of that sentence, Philippians 1:13, could be read this way. it is plain to be seen that my bonds are because of Christ. That's not only plain to be seen by other believers, the audience he's writing to in Philippians. It was plain to be seen by everyone in that praetorium. If Paul would be questioned as to why he is imprisoned, what would his answer be? Because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. Next question, to a Roman guarding him there, well, who is Christ? Don't you wish somebody would ask you that question, an unsaved person? Who is Christ? Would that be an opportunity for you to witness? If somebody were to say, who is Jesus Christ? Or who do you think Jesus Christ is? And thus the gospel story could be told. Now here's the interesting thing about this praetorium, this judgment hall, when somebody was consigned to it, ready to be heard before the governor or before the emperor, as here in Philippians 1:13. He would be chained to a soldier 24 hours a day, 6 hours at a time. Thus, four soldiers every day would be observing a man who, according to what you've been memorizing in the Sunday school assembly, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, who, a man who would be rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing, and in everything giving thanks. Think about that. That's what that Roman guard would be observing. A man rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing, and giving thanks in everything. Who boldly interviewed people about their spiritual condition. Who this Roman soldier would observe him writing letters to Christians and churches throughout the empire. Think about the testimony that the Apostle Paul had in prison, being chained to a Roman military guard. God used him for that. Here's why. The Romans did not typically associate with the Jews. These guards would be native Italians. These guards also served as guards for the emperor. And you have to wonder, I wonder if the Apostle Paul ever wondered how he would ever advance the gospel to those in political power. Have you ever had a desire to share the gospel somewhere and go, I wish I could share the gospel. I wish I had this platform. I wish I had this stage. I wish I had the opportunity to, you know, share the gospel here. I remember years ago when I was at Bob Jones and the president, Dr. Bob Jones III, was talking about how he had attended the Nebraska-Clemson football game. That was back in, I think it was 1983. Does anybody remember who won? It wasn't Nebraska. It was Clemson. But he was there at that game. And he told this in chapel later. He said, I sat there and I thought, wow, if I just had the opportunity to speak to these, I forget how many were there. It was one of the bowl games, 80, 90, 100, I don't know how many people, but thousands of, oh, if I just had the opportunity. And mere weeks later, he was on the news because of the current court condition, and he was on national television, where he was able to give the gospel. Have you ever wondered, Lord, I wish, give me the opportunity to have this platform to give the gospel. And I wonder if Paul ever thought, you know, I wish I could witness to a Roman soldier sometime. Okay, Paul, I'll have one chained to you for 24 hours. And that Roman soldier would be able to observe his life. The cause of his imprisonment, Edie says in his commentary, had come to be widely known, and such knowledge could not be without its fruits. So there he is. He has the gospel displayed through his personal contacts. And then, here's the second point. The gospel is displayed to unbelievers through his personal circumstances. It was well known that he was not under guard because he had broken the law. It was well known he was there because of Christ. In fact, what does he say? My bonds in Christ. It is perfectly made clear to everybody. I am here. My bonds are in Christ. The Roman government was curious about this new sect called Christianity. Is it dangerous? Is it subversive? Is it something we can use to give us more power? His bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, it says in chapter 4. Would you go to chapter 4 and look at verse 22? There in 13 of 1, it says, my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. 4:22. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of whose household? Caesar's household. How did that happen? How is Paul including in his letter those of Caesar's household? It might be that soldier who had been recently led to the Lord, who's chained to the apostle. Paul says, hey, let them know I'm a Christian and that I salute them too. And the next guy who came on duty, same thing. The next guy who came on duty, same thing. We don't know. Perhaps those mentioned in chapter 4, verse 22, are the saints of Caesar's household. Apparently, many came to Christ as a result of his imprisonment, as a result of his circumstances. Everything was due to Paul's peculiar circumstances. All of us have peculiar circumstances. If we had the time, we could go through this room and say, what are you facing this week? What are your circumstances this week? What are you facing that's difficult, that's kind of like an imprisonment, where you don't have the freedom to do what you'd like to do? Maybe it's just a particular thing that you're going through. All of us have peculiar circumstances. The question is this: what will we do with the peculiar circumstances that we have, like Paul had? Fanny Crosby had peculiar circumstances. What were they? 6 weeks of age, blinded, but determined not to be bound by the chains of darkness, and she in time became a mighty force for the gospel through the hymns that she wrote. She had peculiar circumstances that she used for the glory of God. Paul has peculiar circumstances that he uses for the Lord. The theme of this book of Philippians, I think, has to do with a mind that is in harmony with the gospel. And you'll see the theme of rejoicing all through this book. And a mind that is in harmony with the gospel will look at every circumstance as a means to further the gospel. You will then rejoice at what God is going to do instead of complaining about what God did not do, but what God can do through what I am currently facing. No wonder Paul could conclude, and if you're in Philippians, go to chapter 4, and he could conclude, almost conclude his epistle with what you see in 4:11. I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, the word state has to do with circumstances, therewith to be content. I have learned, in whatever circumstances I find myself, therewith to be content. And what are his circumstances? He's bound. He's in bonds. He's chained to a soldier. And what do they see him doing? Rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing, and everything giving thanks. You think that might be a good testimony to somebody who is unsaved? May the gospel be displayed through you and me this week, through our personal contacts. And the contacts the Apostle Paul had in prison were numerous. And through our personal circumstances, may God use us and bless those things in our lives for His glory. Amen. Father, I pray that we would be used of You from this short challenge today to remember that our circumstances are providentially set in place. Lord, when we get discouraged because of them, may we be content in whatever circumstances we find ourselves and be used of You to give the gospel as the Apostle Paul did. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Dave, come lead us in a closing song, please.